Let us pray. Eternal God, as we come now to your word, we pray you'd open the eyes of our hearts to receive instruction. We pray, our God, we would understand the words of our Savior as he teaches us what it is we must expect if we're to be faithful believers. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you turn with me, please, once again to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 10 through 12. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Those of you who are here in the morning, remember that we spoke of the Lord being on the side of his people as they go through difficult times when enemies rise up against them. He stands with them. And here Jesus is telling us of some very definite enemies we will face. So listen to God's word from Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Back in 2001, I was preaching through the Gospel of Matthew, and it was sometime around the middle of the year that I preached from this very same text, and I can't find, I'm sorry to say, the outline that I used, but I'm pretty sure when I preached it and when I studied and prepared it, that I had no idea how relevant it would become now 15, 14 years later. I'm pretty sure back then I spoke of persecution in terms of being perhaps refused the right to pray in school. Perhaps I spoke of being made fun of for our faith. A lot of that seems like so yesterday now. Today, we see chaplains in fire departments and in the military either being told they may not use the name of Christ or being fired and forced out of their jobs because they preach the gospel, because they believe the scriptures. Today, businesses are being ruined. A couple in business is costing thousands of dollars in fines because they will not cater to the whims of those who believe in same-sex marriage. Christians are pariahs for going against the culture. And do we need to speak of ISIS, Boko Haram, of the threats going on against soldiers in this country now from ISIS? And we could go on for a long time. But the word persecution means a lot more now than it used to, doesn't it? We're shocked. I have to say we're shocked. The church is shocked. But should we be shocked? Why should we be shocked? Have we forgotten what Jesus said in John 15? If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. And have we forgotten what Peter wrote, telling us not to be shocked? Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Peter, one of the original 12. Have we forgotten? And then there are the words of our text. Not if you are persecuted, but blessed are those who are persecuted. When people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. These are Jesus' words. Remember, he's speaking about what a Christian looks like. Now, a Christian is someone who's poor in spirit, recognizes they bring nothing to the table. They need everything from God, everything from Christ. A Christian mourns over needing the righteousness of Christ to be saved. They mourn over their sins. They mourn over the things that God is grieved by. A Christian is meek, humbled by his low condition. A Christian is someone who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, wanting to live the kind of life that matches the righteousness of Christ that they have by faith. The Christian is merciful. The Christian is pure in heart. The Christian seeks to make peace, bringing the gospel to people seeking to walk in peace in the church. This is what a Christian is, but Jesus says that's not all. That's not all. A Christian is someone who is persecuted. Persecuted. He doesn't say if you are persecuted, but when you are persecuted. Jesus' logic is simple. If you're the kind of Christian as described in these other Beatitudes, then you will be persecuted. And Jesus tells us why we'll be persecuted, how we'll be persecuted, and how we should respond when we are persecuted. And we need to take all of this very seriously because we're beginning to see this all around us. We're seeing Christian clubs kicked out of universities. We're seeing people insulted because they don't accept what culture says they need to swallow. And it's not unlikely that it'll grow worse. So we need to ask some questions. First of all, why will you be persecuted? And Jesus answers in verse 10, there are two reasons. There are two reasons in verse 10. For righteousness' sake. We've hungered and thirsted to be in reality and in experience what we are in reality, just and sinless in God's sight. We will be filled. We will be made more and more just like Jesus over the course of time. Because we are asking for it in his name, we will be transformed into the likeness of the character of Christ. But what did men think of Jesus and his character? Did they welcome him? Well, listen to his words. They hated me. And so they murdered him. And do we honestly expect to be loved and accepted by this same world? Do we expect to be welcomed with open arms when our Lord and Master and King was rejected? He came unto his own and they did not receive him. He came into the world wanted nothing to do with him. And the second reason we persecuted is for Jesus' sake. Verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Or as the original King James has it, for my sake. For my sake. Because we love him. Because we are loyal to him. Because we value what he values. And we embrace his values. And most of all, because we don't embrace, we don't follow the world's values. We cannot say, yes, there, it's all right. When the world begins to embrace same-sex marriage, we don't think it's all right. When people say, murder the child in the womb rather than be inconvenienced. We won't say it's all right when they begin to say, put the older people to death so that we don't have to care for them and spend all that money on them. And a whole host of other things that people think ought to be done because this seems like a cool way to go. We will not approve of same-sex marriage. We will not approve of transgender changes. We will not celebrate their weddings. We will not stop using scripture to counsel people in the military. In short, you will be persecuted because the world is at war with your master. If they're at war with him, what will they do with the soldiers? You know, it wasn't the U.S. military alone that was at war with Hitler. In Vietnam and Korea and Iraq, they didn't go after the generals. They went after the street soldiers. The buck privates, they killed them just as much as they killed the officers. You will be persecuted. It's time we accepted that reality. But never forget God's hand. You're God's hand in guiding it all for his own good reasons. We have to remember the lessons of this morning. The Lord has reasons for what he does when he sends suffering. One reason is purification. God often orders suffering to purify our character, and hence he decrees suffering. Daniel said in Daniel 10, many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. The wise who are being persecuted will understand God's doing it to sanctify them. And then Job, in Job 23:10, he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as pure gold. God will use purification to purify his church. Never forget, they prayed for revival in Eastern Europe. And what did he give them? The Soviet bloc. Soviet masters who persecuted the church. Before that, he sent them Hitler. How do you get purified? How do you get to be like Christ? By suffering the way he did. And persecution is one more way of purification that God uses. And then he does it for his own glory. It may sound strange and almost offensive, but it pleases God to do this for his own glory. The reason he does anything is for his own glory. And we may not understand it in this life, but persecution brings him glory. Well, maybe we understand it better after hearing Pastor Saeed's letter this morning. We'll hear it again tonight. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, again. Christianity is sanctity joined with suffering. This is what being a Christian is all about. Not just about the Bible clubs and the vacation Bible schools and the reading your Bible in the morning and having a Bible in your own preferred translation and being able to go out and march against abortion. This is Christianity as well. This is when it comes to hard reality, persecution. But remember Nahum 1:2, your God sees and is jealous for you and will avenge. Ah, but Jesus puts a dose of reality into our minds in Revelation chapter 6, 9 through 11. Listen to the vision of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. You see, the full tally has yet to be met. This is sobering stuff, isn't it? This is sobering stuff. But let the reality that Christ had told us, has told you that this will happen, and that it is happening, sober your mind now. Arm yourself for suffering. Be qualified for it by living as faithfully for Jesus as you can. Seek to be holy and righteous in your character. Listen, if you're going to be persecuted for righteousness' sake, let's go for it. Let's give them a good reason to persecute us. Be righteous by God's grace. Hunger and thirst for righteousness so that they'll be able to convict you of being a Christian. You know the old funny story. It almost sounds funny. The man who was saved, he became a Christian. And the man who led him to Christ and said, came to him a few weeks later and said, well, how did they react at work when they found out you were a Christian? He said, well, thank goodness nobody's found out yet. That's not the way it's supposed to work. It's not the way it's supposed to work. Seek to be holy and righteous in character, and then know Christ and the Scriptures well, and let him, Christ, and them, the Scriptures, be precious to you. For they are your only lifeline if persecution becomes extreme. Corrie ten Boom in Ravensbrück in Europe didn't have a Bible available to her. She had to remember the Scriptures. I remember my Bible study teacher, Mrs. Campbell. One night she said, let's pretend you're in prison. You don't have your Bible. What Scripture can you remember? to comfort yourself with. She was teaching on these verses. Do you know your Bible? Could you tell it to a fellow prisoner by heart? Boy, you want to dust off those Bible memory notes again? Why will you be persecuted for righteousness' sake and for Jesus' sake? It's coming. Second, how will you be persecuted? Jesus is explicit in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You will receive insults. We're already being told we're bigoted, narrow-minded, intolerant. That's baby stuff. That's baby stuff. It's worse coming. You will be slandered. They will lie about you. There may be physical attacks on you. There may be financial ruin. Talk to the bakers and photographers. You may lose your job. You may lose your children. You may lose your social status. You may lose your friends. You may lose your civil rights. Don't go screaming civil rights. And there may be more than that. Literally, heaven only knows what more there could be. How will you be persecuted? Ask Stephen, the first martyr of the Christian church. Ask Paul, who was beheaded for his faith after spending countless time in prison. Ask Peter, who asked that they crucify him upside down, we're told by legend, because he didn't feel he was worthy to be crucified the same way his master was. Ask James, the brother of John, killed by Herod because he thought it would make the Jews happy. Ask Pastor Saeed, the Egyptian Christians who were beheaded. Ask the Christian bakers and photographers, what does persecution look like? I was tempted to read Fox's Book of Martyrs, but I don't know if we have the stomach for some of the stuff that's written in that very thick book. But I read a statistic that, if it's anywhere near accurate, surprised me. Maybe it shouldn't have. An estimated 70 million Christians have died in persecution since the days of Christ. 70 million. You know, the only thing nearly as shocking as that is that the number of aborted children is catching up to that number in much shorter time. In short, Satan will move the world he owns to do to you whatever he or the world thinks will steal your soul from Jesus. It'll be done to you. The story is told of a Roman soldier who forced a professing Christian to deny Christ verbally and then put his sword that person's heart, thinking that he's sent his soul straight to hell. You don't think that will be done? Guess again. Are you feeling the warm fuzzies yet? Doubt it. So you will be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for Jesus' sake, and they'll do anything they take to be effective. But the third question is, how are you to respond to persecution? And Jesus' answer is a bit surprising in verse 12. Rejoice and be glad. And the old King James, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And you do that for two reasons. The first is it happened to the prophets of old, because in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Matthew 23:35, Jesus soberly remembers righteous Abel and Zedekiah's son of Berechiah was slain by the altar. He remembers that that was done in the Old Testament. Still looking at the Old Testament, look at the Hall of Heroes in Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 35. Some were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. And those were the Old Testament saints. We know of New Testament saints, not in the Bible, who were used in awful ways by Nero and other Roman emperors. My wife and sons and I saw these little 6-foot by 6-foot cubby holes in the Roman Colosseum where the Catholic Church put Protestant believers and tortured them. They were hung over the Tiber River for being Protestants. We could go on. But Jesus says, you do that, you rejoice and be exceedingly glad because your reward in heaven will be great. God and his kingdom are yours. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Remember what Jesus, what the Lord said to Abraham. Fear not, Abraham. I am your great reward.
Amen.
I, the Lord your God, am your reward. You get God in return for the pain you suffer for the sake of Christ. You already have him. You're already part of the kingdom of God. But that's your reward. This is your privilege as one who is and will be persecuted. The kingdom of heaven is yours. And we've come full circle, haven't we? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, and they cannot take away the kingdom from you. The world does not own you, and you have more than the world for your possession. I didn't plan it this way, but it seems to me we are finishing tonight the way we ended this morning's sermon. God stands with us. God stands with us. The persecuted are precious to God, worthy of his punishing our persecutors. He says the persecuted are those of whom the world is not worthy. I don't usually read things twice on a Sunday, but I think we need to hear Pastor Saeed's letter again. This morning, when we read it, we were thinking in terms of how God, he saw that God would be dealing with the people who were persecuting him. Now look at how he rejoices in persecution. My dear friends, the conditions here get so very difficult that my eyes get blurry, my body does not have the strength to walk, and my steps become very weak and shaky. Various bullying groups, the psychological warfare, a year of not seeing my family, physical violence, actions committed to humiliate me, insults, being mocked, being confronted with extremists in the prison, who create another prison within the prison walls and the death threats. It is interesting because I am a Christian pastor. I'm carefully watched. I'm expected to smile at them, but despite what is being done, and to understand why they're doing all of these things. But of course, I can clearly see what is going on. And because I want to serve God, I see all of these difficulties as golden opportunities and great doors to serve. They're empty containers who are thirsty for a taste of the living water, and we can quench their thirst by giving them Jesus Christ. Maybe you are also in such a situation, so pray and seek God that he would use you and direct you in the pressures and difficulties of your lives. There are those who are the enemies of the living Bible and do not want to hear. They're trying to put me under such horrific pressures that are sometimes unbearable so that they can show me that my faith is empty and not real. And after all these pressures, after all the nails they pressed against my hands and feet, they're only waiting for one thing, for me to deny Christ. But they'll never get this from me. That's why the Bible is truth, and they are in the way of destruction. There is another group who does not know the gospel of truth. Instead of truly listening and meditating on God's word, they're just waiting to see how I react to all these pressures and persecutions. What will come out during these intense times? But again, this is another golden opportunity for me to shine the light of Christ in this dark world and to let God use me. Yesterday, when I was singing worship songs, the head of my cell room attacked me in order to stop me from praising. But in response, I hugged him. I hugged him and showed him God's love. He was shocked. It's during these harsh conditions that I deeply need God's saving grace so that I could be the fragrant scent of Christ in the dark house of heaven prison. I've often seen the shining morning star in the darkness of this prison. And I've seen his amazing and supernatural works. Oh, how beautiful is seeing the light of the morning star of Christ, the shining morning star of Christ in such evil darkness. So, see your golden opportunities and pressures and difficulties. See the shining morning star in the dark times of your life. I love him. He is gracious and merciful and righteous to me. I know now that I have not been forgotten and that we are together in this path. God gives me grace. This is my message for the church. Stay strong for his glory. He will come back soon. Be with God and give your best efforts for his kingdom. Pastor Saeed, servant of Jesus Christ in chains for endurance of the gospel. I love you all. Beloved, we are at war on Jesus' side as Christians have always been. I'm not clever enough to give you a conclusion, so I'm going to simply read the words of one of the hymns in our Trinity hymnal. The Son of God goes forth to war, a kingly crown to gain. His red blood banner streams afar. Who follows in his train? Who best can drink his cup of woe, triumphant over pain? Who patient bears his cross below? He follows in his train. The martyr first, whose eagle eye could pierce beyond the grave, who saw his master in the sky and called on him to save, like him with pardon on his tongue, in midst of mortal pain, he prayed for them that did the wrong, who follows in his train. A glorious band, the chosen few, on whom the Spirit came. 12 valiant saints, their hope they knew and mocked the cross in flame. They met the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane. They bowed their necks to feel, their death to feel. Who follows in their train? A noble army, men and boys, the matron and the maid, around the Savior's throne rejoice in robes of light arrayed. They climb the steep ascent of heaven through peril, toil, and pain. O God, to us may grace be given to follow in their train. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do not know what another day, what another month, what another year may bring forth for us who serve you. But we know we are weak. We're not brave people by nature. But we know your grace is sufficient for us, and so we pray you give us grace enough to rejoice and be exceedingly glad if we're persecuted. Give your church grace to stand firm and not surrender. Oh God, we don't leave here rejoicing in what could be, but we rejoice in the knowledge that the same Savior who is with our brother Saeed in prison goes with us wherever we go. Make us confident of his help, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.